His Spirit, even though the congregation is not here with us in body, but I know that they're with us in spirit, and I long to see each and every one of you. Just love and appreciate you. Appreciate you tuning in to this live stream. Tonight I want to read an inspirational verse. I've tried to incorporate that in each one of our live streams before I get into the message. And the inspirational verse that God laid on my heart for this particular service is found in Psalms 121. Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. The psalmist writes, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Thank God for the scriptures. You know, I call it an inspirational scripture or an inspirational verse, but truly every verse in the Bible is inspirational. Everything that the psalmist wrote, the epistles that the Apostle Paul and so many wrote, the words of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all inspirational and uplifting. And we encourage you during this particular time especially to get into the Word of God and see what God would have us to learn and pray one for another. Tonight I would like to take for a message text in the book of Romans chapter number 8, beginning with verse number 35. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse number 35. The apostle wrote, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I'd like to use tonight for a message text, "More Than Conquerors." Certainly, this is probably not the first time you've ever heard this message or read this particular passage of Scripture, but nevertheless, this is where the Lord led me this particular week. I began to think about it's time for the church really to rise up. We sing a song around here, the choir does every once in a while, says, "Let the church rise up." I was meditating and praying to God, and I began to think in my mind how that the church right now should be battle-tested and trained and ready and fully equipped, amen, for the trials that we're facing. I thought of probably tens, maybe decades of preaching to the churches has equipped us through the power and through the Word of God and through the infilling of His Holy Spirit. We've talked about power. We've talked about faith. We've talked about determination. We talked about strength and all of these wonderful things that comes and is associated with being a child of God. And certainly we do have power. The Bible tells us, promises us that we have power. And I thought about it seemingly as a base, a military base or a boot camp, and where when the new recruits go in and they begin to be trained and they begin to be ready, battle-tested, ready, so that they can go out and fight and become victorious and become overcomers. And I thought the church seemingly in the last several years have been taking a lot of heat. There's a lot of people that don't speak very well of the church. And when I'm talking about the church, I'm not necessarily talking about First Pentecostal Church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. And I do want to make that explicitly clear that when I say the church, I am not just talking about our local assembly. But I am glad that our local assembly is a part of the body of Christ, the army of Christ, which He has equipped and made ready for the battles that we are facing even today. And this is another battle. But I thought about that not many battles are won as long as we're in the base, as long as we're still on base, as long as we're still in the huts and all. But the battles are won out on the battlefield. The little church that I was telling you about where my granddaddy pastored, one of the churches that they sang, and we still sing it around here every once in a while, "I'm on the battlefield for my Lord." Can I tell you that we cannot meet in churches, amen, and still go along with what those who are in authority tells us to do. But that doesn't mean the church can't go out. That doesn't mean the church is not equipped and not powerful and not ready, amen, to face the battles that are facing us even right now. I thought to myself, it's time to unleash the power of the church. To unleash the power of the church. There's probably many of you that are sitting at home right now. What can I do? I want to do something. People are all around the world are trying to do something. And all these wonderful physical things are great and helping your neighbor out. And certainly a Christian should not have to be told to help their neighbor out. That's something that should come automatic with being a Christian. We are our brother's keeper, as we preached not long ago. But the church, it's time to unleash the power of the church, because the church has power. Power, amen, that the Lord has given us. Thank the Lord that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who has equipped us, who has made us ready for the trials, for the tribulations, for the persecutions, for the pestilence, all the many things that come upon us as we're in this walk of life. And we are more than ready and more than conquerors. The definition of the Bible definition of conquerors is to overcome and take control. I believe it's time for the church to overcome and take control. It's time for us as individuals, as born-again Christians. Amen. We need to be concerned, but we don't need to worry. Amen. Because my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God's going to get us through. He's going to see us through. He's never failed. He's not going to fail now. And it's time that we encouraged one another, lifted one another up. And it's really time that the church prayed like it never prayed before. I mean the foundation shaking kind of prayers that many of our ancestors prayed many, many times. And I remember talking or listening to my granddad and some of those folks talk about coming through the time of persecution, when a lot of times would people in communities would try to run the people out from having church. But you know what? They persevered. They still had, and many churches were built during that time, are still standing today, and the church is still strong and vibrant. But if there was ever a time that churches need to put away their little idiosyncrasies and their little schisms and divisions, it's the day and hour that you and I are living in. One thing about it, we all ought to unite and understand that the blood of Jesus Christ is what made us become Christians. It's what made us become born again. It's what washed away the sin stain in our life and made us be on fire to be more than conquerors. Amen. I'm not satisfied with just being a church warmer. I'm not satisfied with just sitting on the pew. Not satisfied with just sitting around wondering what I can do. It's time to unleash the power of the church. The church is sitting on an abundance of power, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of spreading the gospel, the power of encouraging one another, the power of prayer. If we, every one of us, I believe, if every church member, every born-again Christian tonight would get on their knees and begin to pray, turn the television off, put all of the technology away, begin to pray for a mighty move of God, I believe God would hear from heaven, amen, and He would bless and heal this land. That's in His Word, folks. That's not just my wishful thinking, but I can back that up by the Word of God. We are more than conquerors, but the reason that we're more than conquerors, the Bible says that we're more than conquerors through Christ. Now, we can't do nothing within ourselves, but we have Christ within us. My, what a wonderful thought that is, to know that we can not only have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but we can have His Spirit dwelling within us. That's where my comfort comes. That's where my strength comes from. Thank God I know that's where my power comes from. And we can be overcomers. Certainly, it is time to overcome and take control. Take control of our lives. Take control of our home. Take control of the situations that are around us. Be strong. Have good courage. I've heard that particular verse quoted many, many times. That's one thing about situations that come and afflictions and persecutions. Sometimes it makes people turn to God. And I just want to throw this in. I just want to throw this in for all of you born-again Christians, for all of you church members, wherever you are. A big hello to our First Pentecostal church members, but we hope that others are viewing, and you are our brothers and sisters in Christ just as much as those whose names are on this roll book. We are one, and one we need to be, and we need to fight against the adversary. But I want to tell you, and I just want to throw this in, now is one of the greatest times for revival that I have ever witnessed in my lifetime. I'm getting on up in years, and I've seen a lot of revival. I've seen a lot of things that were turn people's mind to Christ. But let me tell you something. The people's hearts and minds are ready right now. Those that don't know the Lord, this is an excellent time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Let them know that they can count on Jesus. Let them know that they can trust in Him when they can't trust in anything else. I will assure you, people will listen now that probably 3 months ago would have just turned you off and not listened. But because of the times, because of the situation surrounding us, I believe that people's hearts are being melted. And that's a wonderful time, amen, to tell them about Jesus, to share the love of Christ with them, open up the Scriptures and share with them the plan of salvation. If, in fact, we could have multitudes of people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ during this time of turmoil and situational virus and things that's going on, what a wonderful thing that would be to come out of this disaster and make it a success for the church, for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's too long the church has been setting aside just we're happy with our little few and nobody else. But this is an excellent time to go out into the highways and out into the hedges, compel them to turn their life over to Jesus Christ. I will assure you, you'll be received by a lot of folks that are out there. More than conquerors. Amen. Not just to overcome, but we're more than conquerors. After we have overcome, we stand strong in the faith and we remain strong in the faith. After the virus has quenched, come on now. After things get back to normal, don't you forget who brought you through. Don't you forget that it was Jesus that stood with you when nobody else could do anything for you. It was Jesus, amen, that wrapped His loving arms around us. It was Jesus that gave us power and strength and faith to come through these many trials. Don't turn your back on Jesus when things get a little bit better, amen. I believe this is just the starting of a great revival, and maybe you want to refer to it as an end time revival. Certainly Bible prophecy points to those things, but the Bible says when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Church, get ready. Amen. I believe that it won't be long, that we're going to a better place, a wonderful place, and I will assure you tonight, and I want to back it up with the Scripture, that we are in fact going to be rewarded for being overcomers. Amen. Many, many times the battle gets hard. Many, many times we grow weary. Many times it seems like defeat is right in the grasp of the enemy, but we persevere. We keep on going. We keep on going and we keep on progressing and taking over. And every bit we overcome, we stand firm and take control of that ground. Can I just add this? Whatever God has given you victory of, don't ever relinquish that victory. Don't ever back up and let Satan take something away from you that God has given you grace to stand through. And I want to tell you tonight, I believe with all of my heart, I'm going to read you some promises found in the book of Revelation for those who will be overcomers, for those who will conquer and take charge of things in their life. And I really feel the power of God during this time. You might say, well, Brother Eddie, you probably prayed more. That's not a bad thing, by the way. Some of us seem to pray more when things get bad. Amen? You know, we ought to learn something from that. We ought to learn to pray just as hard when things are good. Amen? But certainly right now is a time of prayer and reflection to our Lord and Savior. But I want us to turn to the book of Revelations tonight. And in here, we're going to find, I believe someone said about 17 times that it is mentioned about the promises to the overcomer. Now, I want you to understand when the Bible writes here, overcomer, John the Revelator's writing, it is synonymous with conquer. In other words, it has the same meaning. It is to overcome and take control, or to be, as John the Revelator wrote it, an overcomer. And the first one is found in the second chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning with verse number 7. 7 is where we want to go. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 7. Listen to the promises of those who are overcomers. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Remember, the book of Revelation is in fact John the Revelator as he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and God began to speak to him in a spirit, and John began to write what he saw. write the visions that came to him. And the promises here in the early chapters of the book of Revelation are sometimes things that we kind of skip over and we get into the really scary parts of Revelation. But understand that as long as the scary parts are coming, we got a Savior in Jesus Christ. Amen. A born-again believer in Christ knows the promises that accompany those that are overcomers. In verse number 11, if you'll drop down there with me as well. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Let's go down to verse number 17. Again, these are promises to the overcomer. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I began to get all excited when I was reading of all of these promises that are to come to the overcomer. And I'm going to share that with you just in a moment. Let's go down to verse number 26 in the same chapter, chapter 2 of the book of Revelation. Verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Now let's go to the third chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning with verse number 5. Again, he that overcometh. Who is he that overcometh? He that works through Jesus Christ. He that has Jesus Christ in his life. The Bible tells us, the epistle told us, we are more than conquerors. We are more than overcomers. And here's some of the promises. Verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. It's getting greater and greater and greater to read these wonderful promises. Verse number 12, out of the same chapter, chapter 3. He that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And finally, in verse number 21 of the same chapter, chapter 3 of Revelation, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. These wonderful promises that God revealed to John the Revelator to write, not only for John, but for the church. And it still applies to us today. I talked about the battlefield. I talked about the war that rages. I talked about the pestilence and all of these things that come upon us. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust as well, meaning that we're going to face consequences, we're going to face problems, we're going to face issues. But the big difference is we will overcome. We will be victorious. We are more than conquerors. We will conquer, we will overcome, and we will take control of that situation, because greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. Now, after the battle and after the war, you remember, many of you, this generation may be a little bit too young to remember when it actually happened, but you've seen the movies, you've seen the videos of when our troops came home. They maybe went into harm's way, and they maybe was in the foxhole and in the trenches through the mud and through the murk and through all of the fighting. And many, many times it seemed like the thoughts of America was way, way off. But the thoughts and the prayers of America, the church, was praying for them. But you remember seeing them come marching home. Amen. They forgot about the mud. They forgot about the harshness of the weather. They forgot about being hungry. They were was victorious. They had went into battle and they were now overcomers, and now they were marching in. There's an old song that says, when the saints go marching in. I don't know when it's going to be. I can't tell you the day nor the hour, but I know through the promise of God, one of these days I'm going to be in with the saints when we go marching home. There'll be no more battles. There'll be no more fighting. There'll be no more wars. There'll be no more pestilence. There'll be no more virus. We're going to have a home, amen, that's beyond our ability to even fathom or comprehend. There'll be no more sorrow, no sickness, no death. What a glorious place that the Lord has prepared for those that overcome. And the way that we overcome is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're listening out there tonight, and you're maybe excited about the Word of God, and maybe you haven't really thought about some of those promises and thought about some of those things, and maybe you're fearing, and maybe you have anxiety, and maybe there's a dread in your heart about the virus, about this and all of that, let me point you to Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Nothing else, nothing man-made, nothing, no kind of, it doesn't come in a bottle, it certainly doesn't come in a syringe or a pill, but Jesus can satisfy your heart. He can soothe those problems and give a relationship with you, amen, that will last for an eternity. So as I prepare to close tonight, if you're out there and you're listening, if you're viewing on the live stream tonight and you've never made a commitment to Christ, you've never confessed your sins at an old-fashioned altar, let me tell you the good thing. You don't have to be in this church to get saved. You don't have to come to this particular altar. We love this church, we love this building, and we invite people to come from all areas and all walks of life. And we always have an altar call. But the wonderful thing about Jesus is you can invite Him into your heart right there in your home. You can ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. And I encourage you to do so. Not just because there's a virus rampaging or raging in the land, but because it's where we're going to have an opportunity to spend eternity. When this life is over and all of these things, all these bad things are a thing of the past, never ever to bother us again. And unless you've come to Jesus, unless you've made Him your Lord and Savior, unless you've invited Him into your life and He's filled you with His wonderful, glorious Spirit, amen, there's no hope in living in this world, but the hope is in Jesus Christ. God bless you. We love you at First Pentecostal Church. We love you wherever you are. And we're praying for you. As I said on our last live stream, you may not know it. You may not even know us personally. But I will assure you, we are praying for you. And we don't have to know your name because God knows your name. But you're being prayed for. Our first responders are being prayed for. Our police force is being prayed for. Those that are working in the medical profession, certainly they're being prayed for. And I hope you will pray for them as well, because this is the duty of the church. This is where the church needs to rise up. We need to rise up in a spiritual battle. We need to be one. We need to be united. We need to be holding hands spiritually. Amen. And you can do that without physically holding hands, but reaching out right now and taking hold of your hand if you're there with your family members. If you're not, if you're sitting by yourself, just reach your hands out. Amen. And just to show that hands are reaching out all over this broadcast. Hands are reaching out all over this world as we prepare to close tonight. And let me tell you again, this is a wonderful opportunity to invite Jesus into your life. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, how we love and thank You, God, for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your abundant forgiveness. God, for the opportunity that You have given us to maybe share a little ray of hope to so many people who are hurting tonight. Father, I pray, God, that You would be a God of comfort to them. I pray, God, that You would be a healing God as well. And Father, I pray right now for those who may not have ever made a commitment to Jesus Christ. I pray that through this, right now, they'll reach out. They'll ask You to come into their life. They'll ask You to be their Lord. They'll ask You, Lord, to save them, to wash them, amen, from their sinful nature. Father, I pray for the love, the unity, amen, and the togetherness of churches everywhere. Let us bond together right now, Lord, as we join in a show of unity, that we are standing together as the remnant of God's church, God's body, the body of Christians, the body of believers all over this world. And we pray, God, for Your healing, the healing of this land, the healing of our nation, and the healing of this world. And Father, we'll give you praise and honor and glory. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Stay safe. Amen. Be much in prayer. And we will see you via live stream again Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. God bless you. Good night. We love you all.